a
Victorian
miasma.
I think Victorian wallpaper beats Disney. That's kind of where my playground. And goes to Japan and back. And then digests it all, throws it up. So this is Victorian wallpaper, actually. And these are, let's see. Yeah, there's some, not Victorian, but they're 1950s paper dolls. In fact, see, it's my thing is I don't want to stop there, you know, a collage. So I want to get the collage so embedded that it becomes part of the painting. So it's a launching point for drawing. So this, to me, really works. It's like an empty, but it was actually a raincoat, you know, a paper doll raincoat. This one too, but it becomes a really empty little girl with horns, you know. And this is the ghost captain. Remember when Fukushima boats were washing up in Alaska? That's when this first happened. It's called the Yin ship. And these, you know, you're not just going to go straight with this, so, but I'll tell you, these were labia. So this was the Yin ship, and I'm picturing the boat propelling itself with the labia as we women navigate our way into life. And I do it a lot, but, you know, just a few tools in hand, but the captain. So there, it's calling all of that, you know, at the same time. The little eyeball guy showed up one day, nurturing her little eyeball baby. He's checking things out. And all these creatures. What happened is it started looking like the pencil was fading into the paper. I'd look at it again at my house, I go, damn, and I'd redraw the whole thing, you know, with the bore pencil, and then I'd knock it back with, I use a lot of Montana spray paint. That's one of my things, and I do stenciling with it, you know. And the stencils are my halftone screens that I use for shading, yeah, but in pattern. Mm-hmm. So that's what that, and then there's a lot of drawing. You know, drawing is really a large part of it. And the paper, yeah, she's looking, a lot of layers, you know, go back, go forward, go back, go forward. Sometimes I have three cans, you know, one under my arm and two I'm playing against each other. But some of these colors, I mean, they come out of overdoing it, and then it just... We have a full rainbow right here, you know? Uh-huh. You were in a, even without my glasses. And then have to have some positive note, right? Got a little dark going on here, but no, we're coming. Yeah. It'll be okay. I wanted to spray black up the wall right here, but I've got scared to ask Mike. I said it to him once and his eyebrows went up. Usually I don't put collage materials into my work. I redraw it, and I just sort of gave myself permission this time to go to use the actual piece. It's really liberating and more difficult, because then it's a whole new problem of integrating it into the work, as opposed to when it's drawing, it's a lot easier.
Right.
But I found there was an honesty to it and a challenge to take it past just the collage of another material on top. I guess it's my way of layering, of, you know, getting in some kind of digital layering into my work at my level. We won't go to the computer, but we'll layer.
Well, that's what the drawing of it, right? But then to actually layer the material is so less often successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
Because I don't want to be a collage artist. Yeah. And I don't want to be a resin artist. I was tired of using resin to make depth. So that helped. I usually draw from my previous paintings, and then I draw from, Japanese imagery that has been used culturally in Japan for years.
Like what?
Victorian children's books, 1950s illustrations. There are several artists that I like their work and look at. Daron Waterston, who is able to move from imagery into abstraction very gracefully. And I like what he does with that and try to go there if possible. What else do I grab from in my mind, but doesn't look like it when I do it, is there's some early Chinese fables that are illustrated from turn of the century. And I'll have to say Japanese katagami.
What?
Katagami actually is, it's a stencils for kimonos. So, and they've used them for centuries in Japan. Mulberry paper that's been soaked in persimmon juice and smoked. They're beautiful, they're cut, and they're the stencils, and they create the patterning for kimonos. So I guess you just say kimono patterning, but it's the negative that it's the patterning that I'm interested in more than the imagery and the cultural meaning.
Mm-hmm. And then when you sit down to draw, would you just be talking about your day, or?
I think it's more than that. I think the issues that come out, whereas it's stream of conscious type of drawing, and it's prompted by the imagery that's already there, which would be, hopefully, floated colors, and probably that's it. I really, when I start drawing, then it's connective tissue into shapes. So shapes and colors, I start abstract and then go into more narrative in storytelling, and that's usually done in pencil. But it reflects current issues that might be on a global scale, things that are probably I'm concerned with, and then other things that I see starting to pull out of the paper. You know, stream of consciousness maybe began in the 60s, and I was really there, so, you know, I figure I'm going to, you know, return to this in my drawing, because the drawing itself isn't facile. It's a very long process for me. I like it. It's laborious, and I go very slowly into it, and yet I want the motion to be fluid. That's really important, and I want it to show movement, but I also like to spend a lot of time with it at this point of my drawing in this series. You know, earlier work was more gestural, solely, but this is not. This is, while I try to draw from the same kind of place, I like to spend time in that place, laying it in, and taking time in the process, because that's what I enjoy. The rest of the part of it, why rush something that's the most enjoyable part, right? I want to spend time there. So now I draw meticulously, not because I like it or like to look at it, but because I like to do it. Yeah.
What are you going for?
I don't know. Going for my dreams. I don't know. You know, I'm not thinking about, you know, I change every time. So if I feel like something, if I analyze a group, a body of work, and I feel like it's weak in some kind of compositional strength across the room, the next time I do a body of work, I'm going to focus on that. If I find this is, you know, a little too full spectrum, maybe I want to focus on one. There's a lot of blue-green, you know, over here.
Yeah.
I guarantee the next series of work probably won't be starting there.
You know? How are you feeling about sugar at this point?
Yeah, over the top. It's hard to stay away. You know, I really do like detail. You know, I can always, you know, always spray it out. You know? Got a lot of forward and back when I work.
What you said, though, about the drawing is maybe how the collaged elements end up getting worked in, because they are also excavated, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bury those things. If I see the edges, I'm not happy. You know, woo, 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 something's showing that we don't. And then other times I want to be more honest. I want to say this is a piece of collage paper and I like it. You know, put it in there. So now, too, I just give it an interesting shape. That's important, and I'm not just ripping it. You know, it's actually katagami, cut the paper.
Uh-huh.
It becomes cut paper as well. Some of that is our paste papers, and some of it is marbleized paper, and some of it's antique wallpapering and antique paper dolls, and I use anything. And then when I work on wood, I'll hammer things onto the wood and then work into that. And I haven't done that in a long time. It's not in this group, but anything's possible to come on and come off, right?
Yeah. You've been proving that.
Take it off. Sometimes the mark of where it was is more interesting than the thing it was on there. I'm very, very critical of myself, you know, before others, I think.
So, how do you keep things feeling fresh?
From not being fresh? It's a priority.
How do you keep it fresh? How do you make it feel fresh?
Lay it in there fresh. You know, you don't worry a line to death. You know, I get a line down. If it looks like it's labored, then it gets sanded out, and I'll do a very facile line on top where it was, but with intention of being in and out really fast, you know, laying it in fast. Mm-hmm. And I use a lot of spray paint. I like it because of that reason. You can really, you know, be in and out fast, and it has a motion to it, mm-hmm. that lends itself on the surfaces as movement and clears up a lot of soggy moments.
Oh, I know. And stencils are so great to work with because you can get such a clean line without labor.
That's maybe an issue that's not healthy about it. Stencils can be facile, so that's why I think so many stencil work now is huge, because that's harder to do, and there's a reason for it. You want to see it from a distance. If I have any kind of compositional problem in my overall work, I would say it's that I have trouble with shape. I need strength in shape. I can get lost in my little overall smushy, detail-y thing. So I use spray paint to define large shapes, mm-hmm. and it helps me get in and out at that level. And it'll carry the whole piece all the way through my itty bitty little hours and hours of drawing.
You use it to carve up the original space.
Yeah. And also read at a distance so that you have some compositional strength at the foundation of the work. Yeah.
You're so good to talk to.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you too. Good to see you. Yeah.
How are things going in Kauai? How's the art scene feeling over there?
I think it's probably healthy, but I'm not an active part of it right now, of the whole Kauai Society of Artists at this moment, so I really don't know. But I have my own scene, which is a Double Dog Dare Studio residence. It's a residency in printmaking. So I invite artists to come. They have a week to work in my studio and stay with me. Gratis, and so I host usually postgraduate students and master printers, and it's been wonderful. It's happened. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh yeah.
I gotta see what they've been making at your place.
Oh, wonder! You really should see Koichi Yamamoto and even Tom Lieber and David Kuroka, and I have a wonderful collection.
How long have you been doing this?
It's been 6 years.
Double Dog.
Never
heard of it,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. I'm very off the grid. Sometimes we collaborate, and usually I keep a piece for the collection. I exhibit the work now as the studio.
Oh.
There have so many great artists, and we have so much fun, and we cook together, and it gives me, you know, on Kauai, it becomes a little art scene. And if it's really an evolved artist that I share, you know, they'll do a potluck. I'll do a potluck and make sure that all the artists on the island know. And sometimes we've done a spontaneous art event, you know, like they print it when they come out, like Koichi Yamamoto did.
Really?
And he's so great. He was playing music and teaching people, and they were all over the room scratching out their plexiglass plates. And he's a master printer, and he printed everybody. He's a little elf.